Everyone, and welcome to the Planet FM meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6. My name's Siobhan, and I'm an alcoholic, and will be chairing our meeting this morning. Could you please help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today our speakers are Herb, Helen and Kevin, and they'll be sharing on their experience, strength and hope. Herb, would you like to open the meeting for us this morning?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Siobhan. I'm Herbert and I'm an alcoholic. I started drinking at an early age, 13-ish. I probably started smoking weed earlier than that. And I was born and bred on the North Shore. I had a fantastic life growing up, surfing, skating, a lot of great mates. My parents, they drank, but I wouldn't consider them as alcoholics. There was no physical violence in my family. We got hiding, but that's just what happened back in the 80s. I went through the school system and I left school at 16 and went straight into civil construction. I drank when I was at school for sure, social drinking, binge drinking, going to parties. But I wouldn't consider it as it was too out of control. But when I got into work as concreting, my drinking amped up a bit more. That's what we did after work was just drink. Going to the pubs at 16, 17 and, spending all of my wages. And I was constantly getting trouble with the local police, and there's not one time that I got into trouble that alcohol wasn't involved. Not one time through my whole life. There was a lot of drink driving charges, and I ended up going to prison when I was 18. For drink driving, and that wasn't even my rock bottom. I remember the first night I prayed to whoever was out there or whatever was out there to get me out, and when I woke up the next day I was still in there, and it was pretty freaky, but that was that, and I went through that. Got released and went straight to the bottle shop and with my steps of freedom and bought a bottle of Jack Daniels and got drunk. So moving on from that, I continued on with my drinking and still getting in trouble with the police with my drinking, still getting DIC'd, drink driving charges. I got done drink driving again, and the judge was going to throw the book at me, and I was able to get into a rehab, and that was in 2000, I completed that rehab, but I was too young. I still wasn't ready to stop drinking. And as soon as I left the rehab, I went out and went to a party, and you know, my drinking just continued. Moving on from that, in 2001, I moved to Australia. You know, got into the drugs and alcohol scene over there. I moved to different states, from Adelaide, South Australia, to Victoria, then to the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast was just a party town. And again, you know, all the trouble that I got involved with the law, was all around drinking, everything. And it just got worse and worse and worse. I got done drink driving over there as well. For the third time, I was looking at prison. But I was able to get off that, and I did counselling. Again, you know, I still wasn't ready to stop. I lived up in the Torres Straits for 4 years. It's a scatter of remote islands between the mainland of Australia and Papua New Guinea. And on the islands, a lot of the islands don't have bottle stores, or some of the islands are dry communities. And the island that I was going to was, it didn't have any bottle stores or a pub on there. And it was funny that as much as I drank before that time, once I got to the island, I didn't worry about the drink. But when it eventually came around, you know, you can bring alcohol to the island, and the locals would have, you know, parties and stuff. And it was sort of hard to get into their groups, being an outsider. Even though I'm Māori and I'm, you know, brown, I'm still a white fella to them. It was weird. And anyway, to get in their groups and their amongst their families, you know, it took a long time. It took over a year. And you know, once I started getting involved with what they did, and I started drinking and stuff. And then, you know, I eventually came back to New Zealand. My father passed away, and came back here, and I ended up getting done drink driving again, and I was looking at prison again, and I got in trouble with work for drinking. I was going to lose my job, and I could feel my life just crumbling around me. And I did get to the point where I was drinking every day, and I couldn't function without alcohol. So at that point, I was powerless over it, and my life was unmanageable. And that was my rock bottom, losing my mind. And the anxiety and everything was just crashing on top of me. I eventually able to get into a rehab. I completed that. At that stage, I wanted it. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I went into a rehab. I completed the rehab. Like, my sobriety hasn't been perfect, but it's been fantastic. I get my strength from, going to meetings. When I went to my first meeting, you know, it was suggested to me to do a lot of meetings. So I did as many meetings as I could. You know, I was doing a meeting every day, sometimes two meetings. It was suggested to me to get a sponsor. My sponsor helped me get through the steps. It was suggested to me to go get a home group, and I got a home group. I haven't had a drink for over 2 years, 5 months, and what's today's date? And 10 days. Well, actually 9 days, because I won't count this day over until I hit the pillow. But I love my life now. It's fantastic. You know, I was indefinitely disqualified. Now I've got my license. Now I've got my class 2. Now I'm operating machinery. you know, and my hope, I get my hope from my children. They're still in Australia, and I will be going back to see them, and I will be going back to live with them, and you know, and that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Herb, for your sharing of your story. And now I'd ask Helen to share, please.
Thanks, Siobhan. I'm Helen. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Torbay. I didn't learn until I got sober that alcoholism is a disease. I'm pretty sure I was born with it. My father was an alcoholic, but and many alcoholic family members, but knowing that sure wasn't preventive, you know. I just have found that each person has to find out for themselves, usually the hard way, that alcohol wanted to kill me. It still does. And it's up to me to take responsibility for getting sober and keeping sober. I've learned that I can't fix myself by myself, and that's the whole point of this fellowship, is to, we support each other, we enable each other in the most positive and wonderful way. Everyone in a meeting understands everyone else, and that's an extremely helpful, supportive feeling. Meetings are really important to me. I'm real anal about my regular meetings, and there's a comfort in knowing that if I'm not there, someone will probably text and say, hey, what's up, kind of thing. And that's, you know, it's all part of the environment that AA gives us all if we embrace it. So it's also important, I've learned that I can't fix anyone else. You might have someone in your lives that's using drugs or alcohol, but, you know, nobody, you can't do anything for anyone else. All we can be for that person is a good example of how sobriety can be achieved. And be there alongside them until, you hope, they get what we've got, which is a kind of life that mightn't be what we expected, but it's a hell of a lot better than the life we had. I went away to university. It was paradise. Nobody stopped me drinking, and what I didn't understand through all those years and leaving university, graduating, getting a job, everyone else gradually grew up, and I kind of didn't. Over time, held things together, but it was bumping along, existing, not really living, I've come to understand now. And I felt trapped. All those things that the big book tells us that we learn in sobriety. I was angry and miserable, and it was my fault, and I couldn't see a way out. And eventually my son stood over me, he was 20 at the time, and said, time to go to ring the helpline, Mum. And I did, and the person who answered said, I will be at Torbay tomorrow night at 7:30, you should be there. And my son drove me there, and I have not had a drink since that day. So, you know, it's one of the sayings, one of the things people do say, that you don't have to drink again when you leave here. And I guess I was ready. I was more than ready. So I didn't have any trouble accepting that I was an alcoholic. Takes a bit longer to get through the rest of the steps that are the program of recovery for us. Everyone does sobriety differently. It's not a race or a competition. What I do try to do is my best each day. Try and do the next right thing. Over time, I've come to understand that I now have a conscience. So the next right thing isn't so easy, but when I start to misstep, my conscience tells me that stop there, wrong way. And however it works, that's what I do. I do my best in the day I'm in. And the blessings of sobriety are that I can be present, I can be available, I can help other people. When I was drinking, I just couldn't wait for everyone to go away so I could sock into the next bottle of wine. It seems mad now, but at the time, it felt like the solution. So sobriety is the solution for me. I just bumble along one day at a time, extremely imperfect most of the time. But, you know, I'm aware and I'm living instead of just existing, which is where I was before. I always feel safe in meetings right from the beginning. And I didn't understand real clearly for a long time, but, you know, that is the unity of AA and the fellowship that gives us all a solution if we grab it. And so I had hope and I have a life. I think I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Helen. That's amazing. Kevin, can I ask you to share next, please?
Kia ora, Siobhan. My name's Kevin. I'm an alcoholic. Sitting with a microphone in my face on my 62nd birthday is not something that I would have thought that I could foresee. And you look back on what I'm doing here, how I ended up here. So let's start at the beginning. I grew up on the North Shore in what we these days refer to as a low socioeconomic area. So I grew up in Beachhaven, part of a large family in a state house, or what we call a Kaingaroa house these days. And across the road from us was another large family, and there was one of the brothers in the family who was about my age that I'll refer to as Little Man. I'll tell you why a little bit later on. We didn't have much, so we had to create our own sort of activities as kids, playing bulrush in the street. It was a good, you know, swimming down at the wharf was a good sort of an upbringing. We didn't compare ourselves to anybody else in the country, anyone else in any other community, or anyone else in the world. We just grew up as kids. That's all we knew. At the age of 13, our house burned to the ground, wasn't insured, and this is when the support of the community really rallied around and came together, showed its strength. We ended up getting billeted out to different people's houses, and we got another state house in Castor Bay. Now, that changed things dramatically. Not many people crossed the divide from a decile 2 to a decile 9 area. So I got an opportunity of seeing both sides. I got an opportunity of seeing people succeed in school and getting a genuine pat on the back rather than getting called teacher's pet. I was getting taught from textbooks that were authored by the person that was teaching us. It was dramatic. So I received a reasonable sort of an education. It wasn't enough to keep me out of jail ultimately. So let's start down that track. So, discovered alcohol at about 15, probably with the help of a couple of older brothers and, the fact that we had a lot of parties at home, heavy drinking was involved there. Distinction between heavy drinking and alcoholic drinking is when the drinking causes harm. Mine was pretty overpowering. From the time that I discovered it, and other drugs in the teens, which we refer to as formative years. And of course, when you get wound up in it, they can become deformative years. So, as Herb shared, we, got into some trouble, and each time we got into trouble, alcohol was definitely at the forefront of it. And nobody else poured it down our neck except ourselves. So I ended up in, first jail I ended up in was Mount Eden, and, I'll bring Little Man back in here because the first morning I woke up, I walked out of my cell, I looked straight across, and who was straight across the road from me? Little Man. So there you go. My first cellmate, this guy called Charlie, he was a bank robber, and I was into fitness at the time, and Charlie said he was too, although you wouldn't have thought it to look at him. So we were getting locked up. The jail was full in those days. We were getting locked up 16 hours a day, and Charlie said, what we're going to do is every time we get locked back in our cells, we'll do some fitness. And I said, okay, Charlie. So he said to me, what we're going to do is we'll do press-ups first, and I'll go first. And he said, none of these girls' press-ups. You put your feet on the bunk and do them that way. And I said, okay, Charlie. So I was 21 at the time. Charlie was 42. Charlie puts his feet on the bunk, presses his face down to the ground, and he stays there, and he stays there. And he couldn't do one press-up. He turned to me on the ground. He was red in the face, and he looked at me, and he said, can you play canasta? So, got out of jail. Jail's a great place to think. It's a great place to think about how you got there. Do you like it there? Do you want to go back? If you think deeply enough about it, you'll come to the conclusion that most people come to. But unfortunately, those can't avoid the same behaviour, patterns of behaviour, I should say, that put us there in the first place. So, got out, still didn't straighten myself out, but didn't do enough. That put me back into prison, and luck played a bigger part in that. If we fast forward from, age of 15, the discovery of alcohol, the excessive and abusive drinking, the convictions that it clocked up, fast forward 40 odd years, then in my late 50s, I was, one particular week, there was a sequence of events that happened that led to my giving up drinking and being ready to surrender. So, Thursday night, the week started on the previous Saturday. We were playing tennis up in Howlandsville, and that's about a 45-50 minute drive from where we were. Went up there, drank a box of beers, and dropped everybody home. That was par for the course for my behaviour when I was drinking. Thought nothing about getting sloshed, getting behind the wheel. And then a couple of days, 3 days later, head up to the pub in Albany, leave there at closing time, get into another bar with somebody else, and think about taking a sneaky way home, and I end up like 40 minutes north of Auckland, heading north, just way out of where I was supposed to be. On the Friday, this is the end of the same, this is all in 1 week, head down to Owakuni with a bunch of friends of mine for a skiing weekend, and, a couple of guys arrived, and again, these are friends of mine, and I'd had a few to drink, but not enough to create the pattern of behaviour that unfolded that night. I started an argument with a couple of guys, and I'll reiterate that. I started the argument with guys that are friends of mine. Now, in the back of my head at the time, there was a voice saying to me, Kev, you don't do this. This is not your normal pattern of behavior. Haven't you seen what this week has been looking like? It is a massive downhill slide, and it can only end very, very badly. Fortunately for me, it didn't come to blows that evening. I told everyone to get lost, and I jumped in my car, and I drove 7 hours back to Auckland. I got back to Auckland. I was broken. All of the way back, there was a voice in the back of my head going, how can you not have seen everything that you've done, everything that you've been responsible for, over this, you know, what the drinking's done to you. So I turn up on this guy's doorstep that I know that had more than a decade of sobriety. I didn't know anything about AA at all. And I said to him, look, I'm ready to surrender. I've had it. I've had a gutsful. I'm sick of being sick. And, he said, well, AA is not for everybody. It's not about stopping drinking. It's about staying stopped. And, he asked me the two simple questions as well. He said to me, you ever been in trouble in your life and alcohol's been involved? And I gave him an instant yes. He said, the second question's just as simple. He said, have you ever been involved in trouble in your life and alcohol hasn't been involved? And I thought about it, and the answer was no. And it was just from that moment on, was absolutely plain and simple. And from that moment on, I haven't touched a drink. We're coming up to 6 years now, and in about another 6 weeks, haven't missed alcohol at all. And that the other people that you meet outside of the fellowship, particularly ones that haven't seen you for a while, they're the ones that comment on how well you look or that you've changed or something like that. And that, you know, when you look at yourself in the mirror, we don't notice these changes. It's the changes in the interactions and relationships that we have with other people, whether they're people at work, our family, or even colleagues, they're the ones that notice that we have serenity, that I'm not looking over my shoulder, I'm not lying to anybody, I'm not drink driving, I'm the comments that I make in conversations with people are hopefully nurturing and caring and or come from that place. And these are all things that, that come with sobriety, you know, living without the influence of alcohol and drugs, and having to chase that chemical high to become somebody else. I'm happy with who I am today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Kevin. That's all the time today that we have for our sharing. And we are on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. here on Planet FM 104.6. If you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757, or go to the AA website at aaorg.nz, where you can find a whole raft of information. Thank you very much, Herb, Helen and Kevin, for joining us this morning. And if we could all close this morning with the Serenity Prayer, please. God, grant us serenity
to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can,
and wisdom to know the difference.